This is 89.1 WEMU, and welcome to a very special and extended version of Cinema Chat today. I'm David Fair, and this week we have a focus on the Cinetopia Film Festival, and very soon you're going to hear from a very special guest. There was a VIP opening for the festival last night, but the public-facing event begins in earnest tonight. Nick Alderink is Cinema Program Director for Marquee Arts and is putting forth Cinetopia 2026. Nick is also my co-host for Cinema Chat, and Nick, months and months of work by you and the Marquee Arts team comes to fruition tonight. Excited or relieved?
It is going to be a really great festival. Really proud of the program we put together this year. And, it's months of hard work all culminating in the next 3 days. And we're excited and relief. And it's a good mix of those right there.
Well, tonight there is a public party, and that's going to conclude with the opening night film presentation. Why did you choose the film Sons of Detroit to kick off this year's festival?
Well, I came across the title Sons of Detroit at the True False Film Festival, and that's one of my favorite festivals in the country, and I know that they put on great work, and I also, the producer, Russell Stewart, is a friend of the theater. He turned me in that direction as well. And so I got a screener for it, and I just fell in love with the film immediately. And I'm so excited for our audience to see it.
Well, with that in mind, it is with great pleasure we are joined in studio today by the writer and director of Sons of Detroit, Jeremy Shido. It's good to have you here, and welcome to the friendly confines of WEMU.
Well, thank you so much. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you guys.
Let's reflect for a moment. How do you recall your childhood experience in Detroit?
My childhood experience in Detroit. I recall my childhood experience in Detroit sort of twofold. On the one hand, I have a memory of extraordinary beauty, a kind of a golden age, and almost has sort of like a classic golden tint to it, a sepia tint in some ways. I was embraced by our neighbors, a family, and I was raised in part by our neighbors, who had a large family and a very animated and alive and loving sort of family. And that's I grew up on the east side of Detroit, Chandler Park and Drexel, in the 70s and early 80s. And it was an extraordinary time to be alive, an extraordinary place to be alive.
You grew up in Detroit, then you left, and you didn't return for 20 years. Why?
And I didn't return for 20 years. The sort of nostalgic image that I have of Detroit from my childhood was also peppered with moments of tremendous loss and violence and a feeling of personal betrayal to the family that cared for me and loved me, that we had moved away from Detroit. We moved out of the neighborhood first went to the west side when I was in middle school, and I ended up going to this school out in the suburbs. The family that raised me was a black family in Detroit, that I was brought in as one of the cousins, basically, in the family, and we'd shuttle back and forth between my parents' houses. My parents had been split at the time, when I left, I found myself having cut off from this family that had given me a sense of belonging and place. And I think over the period of time, as I came into kind of a racial consciousness that I was actually white, I felt I was afraid to go back. I was afraid that I had kind of betrayed the love that I had been shown and given, and I didn't know how to return. And I eventually traveled the world. I was traveling around as an actor and a dancer and a director, living in Europe.
And it took a heart attack to bring you home.
And it took a heart attack to bring me home. I was on stage in Berlin. I had a heart attack, had this vision. I was on the, I remember being on the, on this cold slab as I was getting the, you know, an angiogram at the time, and eventually angioplasty and stents. And I saw this, the house at 5292 Drexel, where we had all been raised. And I realized that I needed to return.
And when you did return and you started walking those streets and once again finding connection to your childhood and to a real significant portion of your life, what did you learn about yourself?
Well, it took me a moment before I actually was back in the neighborhood, because I had built a career as a performer, and I had this performance piece called The Angola Project. And in The Angola Project, there's this section which I describe my upbringing, and I kind of mythologize it, and I was performing that all over the world, and I got this opportunity to present the piece at the Detroit Institute of Arts, Detroit Film Theater, and which I thought was going to be amazing. I thought I'd be heralded as a prodigal son return, and nothing could be further from the truth. It was a catastrophe, and primarily because there's something in the story that I told, and the story that I had actually capitalized on, a kind of a mythology about Detroit and a mythology about my own upbringing that wasn't true. And I think it was pretty indicative is that when I came back to perform, I was too scared to tell my family that I was doing it, and that should have been a signal for me. And so when I went back for the first time, there was a flood of both feelings and experiences, but the house was in disrepair, and it looked like nobody was living there. So there was a feeling of huge regret and tremendous pain. And then I found that there was somebody from the family that was there, and I got a telephone number from one of our aunties, Pam, and it took me a year before I could actually make that call. And so that the process of slow.
It was a long year, wasn't it?
It was a long year. And the process of me coming to a point where I felt like I could reconnect with the family was very, very difficult. And it required, you know, the ruins of this performance piece, and then realizing that I needed to reach out to family, my fear of doing that. And then when I did do that, the thing that was extraordinary is that I was immediately embraced. And all of the fears that I had, I realized were fears that I had sort of built in my own head. Now that embrace then required years of actual work. But the very first moment is that the love that I had been given as a child, and the love that I had been kind of raised in, and the family that I'd been raised in, was as generous and strong and loving as ever.
This is Cinema Chat on 89.1 WEMU, and my co-host Nick Alderink is here, as he is the writer and director of the film Sons of Detroit. Jeremy Chidot's film will open the Cinetopia Film Festival tonight at the Michigan Theater, and I was captivated by a statement made to you in this film. The woman said, and I quote, "You ain't telling this story. This story is telling you." Is that how it all turned out?
I mean, yeah, I think that... So one of the reasons that the performance piece was a catastrophe was that I was coming to kind of I was pretty high on myself, pretty arrogant about this story that I had, and I came to tell everybody the way it was, and that the
you
truth
picked
is
a humbling profession.
It's a humbling profession no matter what you do, and this was a particularly humbling moment, right? That the thing I was taking the same person who said that this story is that you ain't telling a story is telling you, is Marsha Battle Philpott, who also told me that as I was up saying things about Detroit, that everything that I said up there was just wrong, which sort of set off a bomb in the center of my identity. And at that point, I think that what Marsha was saying in terms of this, you ain't telling a story, this story is telling you, is that I had to come to a place where I needed to start to listen as opposed to speak, and I needed to ask questions, and I needed to shut up.
So in the end, it sounds as though you kind of had to turn a mirror to yourself and take a deep look. When we watch this film as an audience, do you want us to hold the mirror to ourselves and kind of explore where our implicit bias exists, where our prejudice exists, and who we are and how we're going to relate and interact moving forward?
I mean, I think that's what I think as we've been screening the film sort of around the country and around the world, I think that one of the things that we've experienced in audiences is that while this is a very specific story, very personal story, right, about a specific family and a specific block and a specific neighborhood and a specific city in this country, that the resonances of it and the resonances of family that is created around numbers of silences, around the things that are not spoken, has been resonating globally. And that people who have very different experiences in their lives have come up to me and have come up to other members of the team and said that this was their story. And this may be a Filipino man raised in San Francisco or just received something from a woman in Istanbul who saw herself in this story, had never been to Detroit, didn't know anything about Detroit. And so the thing that when the film is working, really very much as you say, what happens is that you are sort of taken, I believe that the film is alluring and wrenching and it pulls you in and it's entertaining and there are moments that are funny and there are moments that are heartbreaking. But I think that the real sort of trick of the film or the thing that the film has to offer is that it requires you to wrestle with difficult thoughts that eventually make you start to think about your own life and the choices that you make and the things that you say you believe and the distance between that and how you actually behave in the world, which is very much what's happening at the center of the story, which is me. But that the reflection is that it ultimately isn't about me. It is about this collective experience of reckoning that happens in audiences. And it's been quite moving.
And Nick, I believe you've made time for an audience Q&A following tonight's presentation of the film, Sons of Detroit.
Yep, we'll be joined with Jeremy and the producer, Russell Stewart.
And has it been your experience that when you hold these Q&As at the Michigan Theater, that it is not just about an interaction between filmmaker and a film viewer, mm-hmm. that there is education and enlightenment that takes place in the exchange?
Oh, definitely. I think it's an education for the audience, but I also feel like the filmmakers get educated in a Q&A as well, because people will ask some questions that you probably had never even thought of.
Oh, yeah. We're in the hot spot, without a doubt. It's both thrilling and terrifying.
Yeah.
Well, beyond tonight and the Cinetopia Film Festival, where do you take Sons of Detroit and what's next in this journey?
Well, we have a screening on the 17th. It's actually the Detroit homecoming of Sons of Detroit that'll be at the Detroit Institute of Arts Detroit Film Theater at 7 p.m. So that's the next place. And then we have a number, then we're back on the road, on the festival circuit, and looking down towards the end of the year, we're looking at a theatrical release of the film nationally and potentially beyond. But right now, the film is really at the beginning of its life cycle, and so this is one of, not only is this an extraordinary event as the sort of the Michigan premiere, the Southeast Michigan premiere of the film, which is amazing, but it's also going to be, you know, one of the early audiences to actually be able to experience it, and it'll be the first audience that experiences it that has firsthand knowledge and lived experience of what the film is about, and that is that's thrilling.
Well, Nick, any seats left for tonight and the rest of the four-day Cinetopia Film Festival?
Yeah, the Cinetopia is running through the 17th. We have lots of passes are still for sale, individual tickets, and we hope to see you there.
There's going to be a lot to view, and all you have to do is stop by our website at WEMU.org, and we'll get you connected with everything you want to know about the Cinetopia Film Festival and about Sons of Detroit. Once again, the festival opens to the public tonight with a showing of Sons of Detroit. Jeremy Shido, thank you so much for your time and sharing your story.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And Nick Aldering, good luck with the festival. We'll look forward to hearing all about it next week.
See you next week.
This is your community NPR station. It's 89.1 WEMU Ypsilanti. I'm David Fair. Check out a good film. Check out the Sons of Detroit and let us know what you think. We'll be looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Have a great weekend.